power up here on the pulpit representing a baby. Amen. Who's glowing tonight? Let's see. Come on. It's not in the balcony. No, and it's not on the north side over here, so it must be over here. George and Elizabeth Mullis, congratulations. Amen. Number three. Love it, love it, love it. They're excited about it. Amen. And congratulate them and praise God for new life and babies coming. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 26 tonight, please. Matthew 26. And as we've been studying here on the this part of Matthew, and we've been a long time here in this the last few chapters, as this time frame is as Jesus is preparing for the cross, really the last few days before the cross. And here we've come, we were in the garden last week during the communion service, and we saw Jesus in the garden the week before that. We were looking at the Last Supper when he instituted his New Testament. But here tonight, I ask you to look at verse 47, please. This is Matthew 26 and verse 47 tonight. Obviously, we've looked at Matthew. Matthew portrays Jesus as king. Matthew portrays Jesus as king. So the message tonight is, our king betrayed. Our king betrayed. Look at verse 47. The Bible says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Lord, we ask your blessing now on the scripture and the preaching time. Bring out of this text what you wish and help us, challenge us in the word tonight, please. We give you thanks for the service that you've been a part of already. Lord, your presence is here. Thank you for the music and the fun that we've had tonight, the fellowship tonight. I pray now the preaching time, Lord, would be helpful to us. And Lord, glorifying to you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Our king betrayed. Now, obviously, that Judas has already made preparation for this. Jesus has already told him, I know it's coming. I know what you're going to do. He said, what you're going to do, do thou quickly. Get to it. He told him that at the dinner table there when they were celebrating the Passover and Jesus' teaching of the Last Supper and the New Testament there. And Judas got up and left. And here now they've been in the garden and he's been praying. This is through the night of the time that he would be arrested, the day before, really the day of in the Jews' eyes, that he would be crucified as their day starts in the evening. And it says, while he yet spake, he had just gotten done praying, and he tells his disciples in verse 46, "Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Of course, Judas knew where Jesus would resort to. He knew where he'd be praying. Judas had spent the last three and a half years with him, and he knew where he would be. And so this was of no surprise. Of course, why do you think that they came with such a force? Jesus had never, he'd never as this thus far shown any great aggression. He'd never rallied a bunch of his followers to pick up swords and chase after people or to defend themselves. They did have a couple swords, and Judas knew that. That's in another passage of Scripture that the Bible tells us they had two of them. However, why such a force? It says as there was a great multitude in verse 47 with swords and staves, and they were coming at him. Did they think that maybe he'd make a last-ditch effort to defend himself, to keep himself from being arrested? Remember at other times, and Judas would have known this. Remember at other times when he just slipped out of the crowd? I don't remember the exact wording that God says in his word there, but literally he made himself to just get out of the crowd, as if he made himself to disappear or become difficult to see as he scooted out of the way when people wanted to take him before at other times. Why then would they get him now? But remember, Jesus said, I lay down my life. God gave himself willingly to the cross. Man did not take him. He gave himself willingly. We understand that. But we see here now, look at verse 48. Now he that betrayed him. Wow. Judas is going to be known by this. Oftentimes in the gospel, he's referred to by this. The one who would betray him. He who betrayed him. The up here in verse 47, it says, one of the 12. Think of that. One of the 12. Yeah, he was one of us, but he who betrayed him. The shame that goes along with that statement. Be like saying, yeah, one of the church members here. One of the church members here. Yeah, he who betrayed. You follow me on that? You can hear and you can sense the hurt coming out of Matthew. Matthew would have been there through all of this. He would have known Judas firsthand. He would have known these things, and he would have felt the shock and the surprise of this betrayal. It wasn't just Jesus that felt that. It was all the rest. It was all the rest. Notice it says, now he that betrayed him, verse 48, gave them a sign saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. Now, Judas here, it says kiss in verse 48, and then it says in verse 49, he said, Hail Master, and kissed him. The word for kissed here in 49, it's the Greek word kataphileo, and it means to kiss fervently. It wasn't just a peck on the cheek. Oftentimes I've thought that when I've read it. I thought, well, he just walked up and he kissed, leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. But the word, the Greek word here means that he did it with great power and passion, as if to make a show. The Italian mafia has something called the kiss of death. And what would happen would be that history and people believe that that kiss of death is based off of the kiss of Judas. And where Judas didn't come to him and peck him on the cheek, but he came to him very aggressively and fervently, laid a kiss on him. Where a man would take his hands behind another man's head and hold him forcefully and do it with much force. It was strong, it was passionate, and it was unpleasant. It was not nice, it was not kind. And it was the idea that the Italian mafia would do that when they believed one had betrayed the family. They would come and they would lay the kiss of death on this one and say, kiss them and say, I love you, but we're getting rid of you. It was a public showing that this one was giving approval that this one was going to die. And it's similar to what's going on here with Judas. It's not simple. It's not kind. It is rough. It is unkind. And he does this. Now, you have to think and consider Judas. I could be wrong here. I'm going to give you a little bit, just my viewpoint on this. I could be wrong here. But I never looked at Judas as being in the beginning knowing what he was going to do at the end. The Bible says the man carried the purse. It means he was the treasurer, the guy that had the money for the group. And the Bible also calls him a thief. And it says that when Mary gave that alabaster box to Jesus, somewhat of a year's wage worth of value, that it was Judas that spoke up and said, "Why? Wait a minute, why are we wasting this? It should have been sold." And Jesus corrected him and said, "No, she's done this because she has faith in what I've said. I will die, I will be buried, and I will raise again. And she's done this for my death." That fragrance, that perfume that was anointed so that his body would be ready and anointed, and what the ladies wanted to do when they came to the tomb on Sunday morning, it was empty. Mary had already done with the alabaster box. Obviously, just a few days before he would die here. But Judas, was he a sleeper cell secret agent? We know he wasn't saved. The Bible's clear on that. Son of perdition. Or was he just a man who couldn't say no to his flesh and dipped into the bag from time to time, because the Bible calls him clearly a thief, and kept that door open and just would not say no to his flesh? He had no self-control, and that the devil entered into him. We know that. John says that. The devil entered into him after he left the supper. Because he was unsaved, that gave the devil free reign of him. And because he had no self-control, he was more focused on the physical and the money, and he was a thief, than he ever did to see that genuineness of what Jesus was doing and receive him as his Savior. I wonder if it was just a man who thought, "I'm going to get ahead with this." And yet, in the end, the devil uses him for such a thing as this. Please understand that sin will always take you farther than you want to go. Whether my perspective here and what I think about that, whether that's true or not, the Bible doesn't say that. But understand this, that sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. Always. You know what happens with young people? Brother Kidwell and the youth group, or even young adults. Listen now, Brother Jake, young adults. You know what happens? And sometimes it's us adults that are a little bit older, they've been living for a little while. It's something we start thinking about, and we have no self-control. And it just works up here for a while, and we have we don't have the character enough to say, "That is wrong. I'm not going to think on that." Do we not have to do that in this world? Do we not have to do that? We do. Something comes into our mind, you say, "What in the world am I thinking about that for? Get it out of there." Paul told the Philippians that. Think on those things that are right, pure, true, honest, of good report. Think on these things. We've got to get rid of our thoughts. But what happens is we have no self-control, and we just dwell on it, and we dwell on it, and we dwell on it. You know what happens? Before long, we start talking about it. You take two people of opposite genders, and they're both not in control of their thoughts. And then they start talking about some things between one another. They start saying some things that are across the line. They're inappropriate. They're too far. And then they're texting things. Why in the world we seem to, in our human nature, be able to type things a little bit more boldly than we can say them to somebody's face? And this is where we get into trouble, mamas and dads, where young people are texting things and they're being so far beyond what they should be because they've got a boldness, because I'm just writing a few words down instead of saying it face to face. I've seen it over and over and over again. You can promise that it happens. And if we're not careful, we don't put attention to our families, to our young people, it could be happening even now. Because human nature has not changed. We're all sinners. And when we start down a descent and we don't apply the brakes early, we pick up some big speed. And when we're going some speed, it's hard to get slowed down. Make that application to a young couple, a young dating couple. Take that application right there and understand how real and how wicked and how the devil works and puts things in minds, and then we don't have the character to take care of it. We start talking about it, and when you start talking about it, eventually it's going to happen. That's what happens. We see that, we can see that progression of David in the Old Testament when in his heart he said, Saul's going to kill me. I'm going to run to the Philistines. He started talking about it and then he did it. We see that very thing in David's life. Now, I don't know. I'm not here to tell you. This is just a little bit of my opinion and my viewpoint. I do see that I don't see Judas as being that one from the beginning that he knew he was going to seek out Jesus and join up with him and betray him and all of these things. I see a man that just didn't have any self-control, and he allowed the devil to come in and take advantage of him. One bad decision at a time led him to be what he was. One bad decision at a time. I want you to see here now, watch what Jesus does. Look at verse number 50, would you please? And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Now that word friend there is the Greek word heter, and it means comrade or friend or fellow or acquaintance, a dear person. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. He already told him. He already pointed that out. He already looked him in the eye and he says, thou hast said. We know that. But even here at the end, and Judas comes and he lays this kiss of death or this fervent kiss upon him, and rough and passionate, making a show in front of all the disciples and all these other people, this multitude that's with him. And Jesus says, Friend, why are you coming? Now, did Jesus know why he was there? Of course he did. Of course he did. The question was not to give Jesus information, but it was a point of conviction for Judas. Friend. He could have said, Hey, you betrayer, I know why you're here. I know what you've done. I know about the 30 pieces of silver. Get out of here. You're my enemy. Get out of here. He could have said that, and he would have been truthful. He could have said, I cannot believe you let me wash your feet. I can't believe you let me feed you at the dinner table. I can't believe you watched all the miracles that I've done among you, and yet you haven't believed, and here you are to hand me over to these religious men. He could have said all that, but he didn't. He said, Friend. What I believe here in that text here is I believe Jesus was showing a little bit of last-minute compassion on Jesus, or excuse me, on Judas. And I believe he was in that, he was forgiven. Did Jesus have any sin? No, he did not. He was sinless. And so if Jesus was sinless, then Jesus had already forgiven Judas. Yes? And there at the end, the last time really Judas, really this is the last time Judas will see Jesus. Jesus said, Friend, in a sense, I've forgiven you. Of course Jesus forgave Judas, or else he would have been a sinner. To hold on to that, to have that bitterness, to have that anger, that resistance there, that would have been some of man's nature, not God. And Jesus was without sin. And here he says, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Why are you coming? It says here in the same verse, it says, Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now I'm going to read that verse 50 again. I want you to consider, picture in your mind what's going on here with this big crowd, with Jesus and with Judas. It says, And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. Picture that. The multitude coming in. Judas has just laid that kiss on Jesus. And Jesus says, Friend, why'd you come? And they come through and literally just pushing Judas out of the way and grabbing Jesus and carrying him off. Yes? Isn't that what that verse says? It didn't say push him out of the way. But knowing man and knowing the nature of a military band kind of a mindset here, once he's identified, you got to grab him. You got to grab him quick. Right? I was just thinking about the Beltway snipers back in the early 2000s. The Maryland State Police caught them, He was found up here on Interstate 70 at the top of South Mountain there at the rest stop there. And if I'm not mistaken, a truck driver identified him. And the Maryland State Police, they came in as quickly as they could. They got a plan together and they jumped him in their sleep and they got him. If they've got that correct. It's the same type of mindset here. Once he's identified, we're not wasting any time. We're in there, we got him, and we got a hold of him. We got a hold of him fast there. Fast meaning to be firm, but also quickly. Notice here, Judas is quickly off the scene. Here he was the guy leading the way for a moment. He was the one to identify. He was the one that everybody's waiting for to kiss the man, because some of these people in the dark, they might not have been able to identify the right one. Maybe. I mean, there was no street lights in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was dark. The sun had already set. Maybe some of them would have identified him right up face to face. But Judas went in and identified the exact man, and they jumped on it and grabbed him. Picture Judas being pushed aside very quickly. And they don't need him anymore. Remember this, when we're playing around in the world will use you and abuse you and throw you away when they don't need you anymore. And that's exactly what happened to Judas. You get to running with somebody and you think, well, we could use example after example, but sometimes we want to run around here on the other side, on the secret side of things, the clandestine side of things, and you want to sell a little something on the side over here to make some extra bucks, or you want to do this over here to make a few extra bucks, and nobody knows about it in the open, but everybody in the dark world knows about it, or the dark web, or whatever the case might be. Listen, you will be used and you will be abused, and when the devil's done with you, when his purpose is accomplished, he will cast you aside and throw you away like trash. You can guarantee it. Why? Because he doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you, but he does care about tearing down the name of Christ. You as a Christian, destroying your families, destroying this church. If he can get one of us, he can easily cause a little smear on the church's name and the cause of Christ. And when he's done with you, he'll toss you aside. And many of you adults understand that, and you know that. You've seen that through different people's lives. Be careful, young people. Be careful, adults. What we allow ourselves to get entangled with. Doesn't the Bible so clearly say, can a man hide fire in his bosom and not be burned? Yeah, it says that. Be sure your sins will find you out. Moses said that to those 2.5 tribes, and God used that very clearly for all of us. Notice as he keeps going here, verse number 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand. Now we know this to be Peter. Another gospel tells us that. Peter stretched out his hand, look what it says, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Can you imagine that? I mean, here you got Jesus and he's being manhandled by all these guys. I mean, it's rough, right? They grabbed him. Maybe they threw some shackles on him, or maybe they tied him, or whatever they might have done, or maybe they just had 4 or 5 different guys surrounding him, grabbing onto him, whatever the case is. And Peter, right, the fisherman. He's not the trained Roman soldier. He's, you know, Now, does he start taking out all a bunch of Roman soldiers and high priests and chief priests and all that? No. What's he do? He overreacts in a situation and he hurts somebody that's just following orders. Does he not? What's the text say? It says that he struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. A servant of the high priest, not the high priest, a servant. You know what that means? That means a slave, somebody who's been ordered to do that. That means somebody that was doing that because he was told to do that. Right? Come on now. Like when a child is told to do something by a parent and then somebody else jumps on them and gets angry at them or whatever. They're just following orders. Sometimes what happens here, listen now, we overreact in situations because we've been hurt. And sometimes we take it out on the wrong people. We take it out on the wrong people. Tell me that hasn't happened in your life. Yeah. How many men are so quick to be short and snippy with their wives when they get home from work? Why? Because you've had a hard day, but you start taking it out on your family or your children, right? There's a few things I want to just look at, a few things that God gave me here out of this text, and I've already been preaching some of it. But number one here, sin goes far beyond your plan. Judas, we saw that. Number two, when betrayed, Jesus forgave. Number three, used, abused, and thrown aside. Sin, listen now, the devil doesn't want your best. He wants to use you and abuse you. And fourth, and this is where we'll stop now, hurt people often hurt people. Hurt people often hurt people. Be careful when you get hurt. Be careful when you get hurt. You know what's a good thing? Let's keep our mouths shut. When we get hurt, let's keep our mouths shut. Maybe we just write that down somewhere and say, when I get hurt, let me just look at this. Oh yeah, keep my mouth shut. Why? Because hurt people often hurt people. You know it. You've seen it. We all acknowledge it. Hurt people hurt people. And here, Peter, he's overreacting. He's just watched one of the 12, Judas, betray the Lord. And I can't believe this is happening. I can't let this happen. Ah! And Christian's ears falls off. I'm sorry, Christian. I didn't really mean to do that. I just got excited. Right? I done chewed him up and spit him out and left him to lay there for dead, man. I was upset. John Kidwell just got to me. I mean, he just got to me. I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle him any longer. Christian, you were just in my way. Get out. Right? Hurt people, do they not? And Peter cut off this man's ear because he was overreacting when Jesus was letting it happen. He was hurting. Yes, he was hurting. But then he hurt somebody else. I think all of us can learn from that. I think all of us can learn from that. Now, what a miracle. Jesus takes the guy's ear and puts it right back on. I mean, if he didn't have a wake-up call right there, yeah, okay, so this is God. I should stop what I'm doing and just believe. Amen. I mean, he just put my ear back on. Okay, I can't believe this fisherman cut off my ear, but anyways, Jesus just put it back on my head. Hallelujah. Don't hurt no more. Man, it's awesome. It's a teaching point here. Teaching point. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter in your Bibles, and we're just going to end with this text here. Go over to 1 Peter, please. I believe Peter eventually learned this. Jesus trying to teach him, and eventually he does learn it. Go to 1 Peter. And look at chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, in verse 20. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:20, "For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Go with me over to chapter 3 and look at verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But," verse 14, "but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Listen, folks, we have been accused. There's so many people, so many Christians in here, whether it's in a workplace or whether it's by friends or family or by somebody else in the church, accusations come out from time to time. You say, I'm not who you say I am. I'm trying to be genuine here. And sometimes that happens. The Lord's saying, if we just take it patiently and keep our mouth shut, remember that Jesus took so much more for us. We can't win over everybody in this world. But we can keep our mouth shut and do it patiently and say, if I'm right before God, then I'm fine. Amen. Look, if you would, chapter 4, and we'll end with this. Look at verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. And we'll end with that. Some things we can learn from this text tonight. And that last one, hurt people, hurt people. Let's pray together. Lord, help us. Thank you for this text tonight. Lord, I pray that you would point out in our lives if there's something that we need to deal with, maybe some sin or some issue that we need to just ask for forgiveness of and forsake. Lord, some of us maybe at different times have played around with something we ought not to be with, playing with. Lord, help us to recognize that sin will always take us farther than we had planned, than we're willing to go. Lord, help us to follow the example of you, how you forgave Judas, even with such an offensive and open and shameful way of betrayal. And Lord, I thank you that these things that we can learn from. I pray that you'd help us to remember that hurt people do hurt other people. And that just like Peter, we would learn that when we're hurt and we've done right, that we'd not respond and hurt other people, overreact. And Lord, help us to take it patiently. Teach us, Lord, from the Word tonight. Convict our hearts and help us, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The piano will start to play. Let's stand together, church, tonight, please. Let's stand together. Some great application from the Word of God tonight. It applies to every single one of us now. I don't know too many Christians, adult Christians, who haven't been hurt along the way or falsely accused or said something against them. That's the devil trying to tear you down and see how you're going to respond. I wonder if there's someone here now tonight that you're playing some games with sin and things. You just got to let it go. Say, Lord, I got to get out of this before I ruin my life, before I ruin the testimony that you have built through me and the family.